This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The study of the Quran has a number of benefits. One of them is mentioned in Hadith, beautiful benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man qara al-Qur'ana wa 'amila bima fihi, ulbisa walidahu taj al-yawm al-qiyamah, dawhu ahsan min dawhi ash-shams, law kanat fi buyutikum." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever recites the Quran, man amila, man qara al-Quran, whoever recites the Quran, wa amila bima fihi, and if he acts and he lives according to the Quran, what happens to him? Not to him, to his parents. Not to him, to his parents. The person who reads the Quran and he lives the Quran, what happens to his parents? Ulbisa walidahu tajan yawman. On the day of Qiyamah, his parents will be given a taj, will be given a crown. And this crown will be Tawhu Ahsan min Tawhi Shams. This crown will be brighter than the light of the sun. That's not the person who reads the Quran. That's the person's parents. The person's parents. One of the many blessings of the Quran. Someone reads the Quran, learns the Quran, it even benefits your parents. Why? Because the parents are the one who planted the seed. Planted the seed for us to learn and learn the Quran. But the Hadith ends, I forget the exact words, but something to the effect of, مَا ظَنَّكُمْ بِالَّذِي عَمِلَ بِهِ. There was no unit. مَا ظَنَّكُمْ بِالَّذِي عَمِلَ بِهِ. So what do you still think about the one who actually stole the Quran? If that's the reward for his parents, what about the one that is actually living the Quran? These two will be greater. So we all make us of those people. So we are reading from verse number 190 on page number. Okay, we look at the 37 part. 37. So read from page 37. We have verse 190 and we're reading all the way to the end, inshallah. And I'll repeat the motivation. Maybe some of you joined recently. The motivation was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا أَكُمَ قَالٍ. Woe to the one that reads and doesn't think about it. Doesn't ponder about it. So we spend some time, inshallah, reflecting on this verse. So from verse number 90, we'll start reading again, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن بيرتي سلني indeed في خلق السماوات والأرض in the creation of the heavens and the earth واختلاف الليل and in the alternating of the night والنهار and the day لا there is definitely undoubtedly آيات there are definitely signs لأولي الألباب to the possessors of understanding الذين those who يذكرون الله they make dhikr, they remember Allah, they mention Allah قياما standing وقعونا and sitting وعلى جنوبهم and on their sides ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض and they think and they ponder in the creations of the heavens and the earth and they exclaim and they are overwhelmed and they exclaim ربنا O our Master O our Lord ما خلقت هذا You, Allah, you didn't create hadha, all of this batila without any purpose. Subhanak, how perfect you are. Faqina azab al-nar. So save all of us from the punishment of the hellfire. Rabbana, O our Master, innaka, indeed you, Allah, man, whoever tudkhil al-nara, whoever you enter into the hellfire, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ You have certainly humiliated that person. وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ And there is not for the wrongdoers مِنْ أَنصَارٍ From any helper. رَبَّنَا O our Master, إِنَّنَا Verily we سَمِعْنَا We have all heard مُنَادِيًا We have heard a caller مُنَادِي الْإِيمَانِ Calling towards faith and saying that آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ Believe in your Master فَآمَنَّا And then we believe. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا O our Master, فَغْفِرْ لَنَا Forgive for us ذُنُوبَنَا Our sins وَكَفِّرْ And cover عَنَّا From us سَيِّئَاتِنَا Our evil deeds وَتَوَفَّنَا And take us, cause us to die مع الأبرار The people of righteousness. رَبَّنَا O our Master, وَآتِنَا Grant us مَا That which وَعَدْتَنَا That which you, Allah, you promised us عَلَى رُسُولِكَ Upon your messengers, upon the tongue of your messengers. In other words, وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And don't disgrace, humiliate us on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّكَ Indeed, you, Allah, لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ You will not break the promise. And when the people of Ulul Albab, the people of Abrar, when they make this dua, what happens? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Responds to them, Rabbuhum, their Master, saying what? Anni, that I, Allah, la udiru, I will never cause to go to waste. Amala, the action of amilin, of anybody acting, minkum, from amongst you, min dhakarin aw untha, from any male or female. Ba'dukum, some of you, min ba'din, or from others. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا So those who هَاجَرُوا who immigrated وَأُخْرِجُوا and they were driven out مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ from their homes وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي and they were harmed in my Allah's path, my path وَقَاتَلُوا and they fought وَقُتِلُوا and they were killed What will happen to them? لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ That definitely I, أُكَفِّرَنَّ I will undoubtedly cover عَنْهُمْ from them سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ their evil deeds وَأَنْ لَا definitely أُدْخِلَنَّ I will undoubtedly enter them جَنَّاتٍ into gardens تَجْرِي that will be running, flowing مِنْ تَحْتِهَا from beneath it الْأَنْهَارُ rivers ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ this will be a ثَوَاب and recompense a reward مِنْ from عِنْدِ اللَّهِ from especially from Allah وَاللَّهُ مِنْ اللَّهِ عِنْدَهُ With him is حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ is the most beautiful of rewards. So we ended there. I'm just going to make one or two comments about the end of the last verse. Allah didn't send the Qur'an down in one go. Oh, let's say this way. Allah didn't send the Qur'an down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one go. He sent it down obviously to the Samai Dunya in one go, but to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over a number of years. But now, how did Allah choose when to send which verse? How did Allah choose when to send which verse? Allah chose to send the verses down in a specific historical context. Important thing to understand about the Quran, it was sent down in a specific historical context. What do I mean by that? Maybe someone came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something, the Prophet didn't have the answer. He went for revelation, the revelation came down, and the Prophet had the answer. Or maybe they were having some sort of disagreement, or there was a discussion, Allah sent down the revelation. Or maybe they were in a battle, and Allah talks about the previous battle, Allah sent down the revelation. So the revelation comes in a specific context. Not every verse, but most of the verses we, or many of the verses we know the context. So it comes in a specific historical context. So the first thing, when you read the verse, we need to understand two contexts actually. The one context is, what is the historical context of the verse? The other one is going to be the placement context. Where is the verse placed in the context of the Quran and the context of the surah? I'm going to leave the context of the Quran surah for now, and let's focus on the historical context. Now the ulama have a very important qaida rule, they say al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la laysa bi khususi sabab. They say that the even though the verse comes in a specific context, you cannot limit the meaning of the verse to that context. You can't say this verse only applies to Badr, and this verse only applies to Uhud, and this verse only applies to the Hijrah, and this verse only applies to Khandaq, and this verse only applies to this man asking a question. Because it will render the whole Quran not applicable to us. You understand? So the ulama, this very important rule, they say the ibrah, the lesson that you draw from the Quran, is based on the wording. What do the words mean? How do they apply to you? Not restricted to the specific context. Having said that, obviously to understand the context, you need to know what's happening. So Allah says here, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا. Who are the people? Who are those people? So there's only one official hijrah, which is what? When, before Fathul Makkah, after 13 years, Allah commanded the Prophet to make hijrah from Makkah to Medina, and then people started immigrating. It was called the hijrah. So those people are speaking about. When Allah speaks about another group of people, وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. People were driven out of their houses. Who are those people? In the historic context now. The Muslims of Makkah. They were driven out of their houses for being believers. وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِ. And they were armed in the path of Allah. وَقَاتَلُوا. And then obviously they fought. And to understand now, let's go back to the second discussion. The context of this verse, in the context of the surah, which battle does the surah deal with? Which battle does the surah deal with predominantly? Who knows? Deals with Uhud. Surah Ali Imran predominantly, primarily deals with Uhud. So those who fought, so obviously Uhud comes after Badr, so Badr Uhud is two main battles. That's the time right now. Badr Uhud time. They fought. And Waqutilu, and some of them were killed. So what I'm saying, Allah is speaking about those people specifically. But now, how do we make the verse apply to times today? Is that my question? What I'm saying is, this only, are those the only people who can apply to? No. Were there battles after that as well? There were battles all the time. So the verse should have a general meaning, whoever fought after the game, and whoever was killed after the game. But let's take something like Hijrah, for example. How do you think we can apply it in our time? What is the principle of Hijrah? The principle of Hijrah is to what? Bismillah. It's a place where you're unable to worship Allah. What is the reason? And then you actually go and you move somewhere else to worship Allah. That's the principle. So you can still take the principle. The verse speaks about Hijrah, yes, formally. But you can still take the principle of someone, they're unable to worship someone, or worship Allah in their context, and then they move somewhere else. Or for example, someone in a more even spiritual context, they're unable to worship Allah with the sin that they have. The sin that is surrounding them in their heart. It's taking over their life. And they make hijrah from that sin, then they're able to worship Allah. You understand? So can I have even a real context, in other words, you physically move somewhere to worship Allah, or is a spiritual reality also? You are oppressed by your own sin, and you make hijrah from your own sin to worship Allah. How about وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. There will always be people who are driven from their houses, it's happening today. There will also be people being driven from their towns, it's happening today. It's happening about it. We have one of the great feeder factors of this mosque here. People are driven from their houses. Actually, in fact, people are driven from Claremont. Right around us here, why do you think we have these two masajid here in Claremont? But where's the Muslims now? They have to rebuy their houses. The Muslims have to come and rebuy their houses. This is actually our. Who do we have first? This is our property. Go to Simonstown, why is there a mosque in Simonstown? Why is there a mosque in Constantia? A few masajid in Constantia. There were people who ukhriju min diyarihim, there were people driven from their houses. Driven from their houses. Waqatalu, are the people who fight? So on an outer level, yes, the verse will apply to people who take up their arms and they fight. How about the spiritual level? Can it apply as well? Can it apply as well? Yes, on the spiritual level, it applies as well. You're going to fight your nafs as well. You're going to fight internally as well. Because the external fight is actually a manifestation of the internal fight. Only people who have conquered themselves can go fight with it. Trust me, you can't go fight in the path of Allah unless you have some serious iman. You rather than die on your bed, you have no serious iman. You know what I mean? Unless you've conquered yourself inwardly, you can't conquer anybody outwardly. Doesn't say you must change your world, you must change yourself first. Change yourself first. So there's the internal battle. How about kutilu? To be killed. People are still killed. But how about in the spiritual context? Yeah, and these are not tafsir, these are more insights. How can people die spiritually? I remember, I was thinking about kutilu is a few things. Number one is when you fight yourself spiritually, what is killed? Your nafs and your passions and your desires are killed. But then I was thinking of another meaning. I was thinking of what do people actually die from? People die from overeating. People die from having too much stress. In other words, die from actually the companies kill them. Because you know their whole life is stress is one of the main killers. So I was thinking, what could you do? Could possibly you could draw the meaning also, people who give their life for Allah's work and they die in it. They don't die for some other prophets, they don't die because they're overeating, they don't die for some other lifestyle issues. They die because they die working for Allah. They die working for Allah. So this is the beauty of the Quran, is that you can have historical context, but you can also draw lessons for yourself. The lessons can be both outward, external, physical actions, and the lessons can be internal. Because Imam Muhammad explained these two realities, is the external reality and the internal reality. That's the beauty of the Quran, that is, it speaks to God. It speaks to God. So those people who have these realities, Allah says, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. So we start to raise verse inshallah. لا means not. يَغُرَّنَّكَ. يَغُرَّنَّكَ means what? Comes with the غرور or غرور, which means what? One of Shaitan's names are the غرور, which means what? The deceiver. So Allah is telling the Prophet directly, but by extension all of us, don't let deceive you. Don't let fool you. What mustn't fool you? The fa'il is taqallub. What mustn't fool you? Taqallub. Taqallub means to move about, to go backwards and forwards. As your qalb is called, is your qalb because it turns, it moves. So taqallub means to go and come back, move about. So don't let it deceive you what? The moving about of who? Alladina, those who kafaru fil bilad, those who kafaru, give me kafaru, come back to Allah, kafaru, those who disbelieve fil bilad in the lands. Okay, so number three, say about that. Let's start with historical context again. Historical context. Which battle does Surah speak about? How is Uhud different from Badr? Badr, the Muslims had an overwhelming, amazing victory. In Uhud, to some extent, they were defeated and they suffered some loss. They suffered some loss. So obviously now the disbelievers have the upper hand. The upper hand. They plan to come attack and finish off the job. The Muslims did chase them away the next day, but they had the upper hand. So Allah is telling all of us and telling the Prophet and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't let it. Gharub also means an interesting thing also. It means to deceive you when you're not paying attention. Deceive you when you're not paying attention. So Allah is speaking from, first of all, a strategic point of view. Be aware. Don't let them moving about, deceive you, keep your eye on them. That's the one thing. The second thing is the more general meaning, is don't think they have the upper hand now, just because they won a battle and they're busy planning now, they plan to attack you again. Don't let that deceive you and think that you are on the back foot and they are on the front foot. Don't let their tapandu, their moving up and down, make you think that you are on the back foot and they are on the front foot. A few other things here. Feel bilad in the, not feel balad, feel bilad in the lands. Why the next significant battle is what? Ahzab. Ahzab is not the battle only of the Quraysh. Ahzab is a battle of multiple tribes coming from multiple directions to attack Medina. Now let's bring it to our context. So this is the Dabur of the Quran. What does the Quran say? What's the history? What's the context? What does it mean for us? That's the relationship. So what does it mean for us externally? What does it mean for us internally? And we as believers need to engage our heart and mind in this. So bismillah. First of all, I want to speak about the word kafir, I think it's an important discussion. What do we say kafir? Kafir anna, la ukafir anna, means to cover. So Allah is calling disbelievers people who cover up the truth. Right? These people in the historical context, who are they? They get to be the Quraysh. Did the Quraysh get the truth? Did they get the truth? Who did they get the truth from? The Prophet also. Did they get like a PowerPoint or an hour to get the truth? Was it one session or was it the live stream? What was it? They got the truth over a period of how many years? 13 years, Makkah period. 13 years. Once or many times? Many times. They got the truth over and over and over again. Did they understand the message?
Yes.
Arabic? They were Arabic. No, they were Pakka with Arabic. No, they was no problem. So they got the truth when in their own town, from a messenger from amongst them, in their own language, over a long time, a complete delivery of the truth. Right? What did they do to the truth? Kafaru, what did they do? They took it and they covered their vision. Now, just get to our context. I personally feel, and that's my reading of the Quran, I feel it is the wrong term to call people who are not Muslim kuffar. I feel it's the wrong term to call people who are not Muslim kuffar. Allah uses the term ya ayyuhan nas. Allah uses the word kafaru and kafir for people who have got the truth, receive the truth, know the truth, then oppose the truth. You understand? So your neighbor, your colleague, you shouldn't refer to that, just tell us kafir what to do. This is the wrong attitude. And also, it also breeds the wrong feeling in your heart. This is your brother in humanity, and you're supposed to be the light for them. Not this kufar around me. I believe this is not Quranic usage of the word. Quranic, and I only read Khatam now. Read the only kafaru and check the context. I guarantee you, every single time it will be because people who have gotten the truth from a messenger directly in their language and then opposed it. Not for general people. So first of all, I think we need to change that term. The best thing to say is people of other faith. Even non-Muslim people, like so much people like Muslim, non-Muslim. Just say people of other faith. Whatever, a neutral term. A neutral term. Because it's important for us to have a good niyyah when it comes to our neighbors of other faith. They are your brothers in humanity. They're not some other group, they're your brothers in humanity. You need to work with them, you need to be with them, you need to mix with them, and you need to be the light for them. You need to be the light for them. So the word kafaru is important to context. Next thing. This for me is so, this verse here is so profound. Because Allah is saying, what is it? Yahoo Allah come in again? Don't be deceived. Why you're not paying attention, which means you are seeing people, now let's use the term in general, people of no faith, people who deny faith. You are seeing them moving about in the land. And you are seeing them prosper. You are seeing them succeed. You are seeing them rising up. You are seeing them becoming strong. When they become strong, what do you feel? You start feeling weak and inferior and comical with more like them. There is a development inferior complex, inferiority complex. Allah is saying, don't let people who have dunya deceive you. Now I want to put this ayah in the context of the first ayah of verse 190. What did verse 190 say? There are people walking around on this earth, and what did they see? They see Allah. What is verse 196 telling you? Don't be people walking around this earth and seeing people who have this dunya, and you start becoming deceived by that. It's a different eye, different glasses. Don't walk around the dunya and see someone, mashallah, he has the whole dunya. The dunya doesn't mean anything to Allah. Allah gave it to them because Allah doesn't need the dunya. Allah says, you knock on the door of the dunya, okay, open the door, bismillah, grab yourself the dunya. Don't let that deceive your Muslims, because you have something better. So it's a very profound spiritual lesson. Don't look at the world looking at people who have taqallub, who are able to, we said in English, the movers and the shakers. The movers means taqallub. Don't look at the movers and the shakers and you get deceived. I also want to be there. I also want to be the CEO. I also want to be the MD. I also want to have my penthouse apartment. I also want to have 3, 4, 5, 10 cars in my garage. Why do you want that? Don't let it deceive you. And don't let it deceive you, because that actually comes from Al-Gharur, from the one who is the deceiver. He's going to help deceive you. He's going to help deceive you. So very profound verse, don't let that deceive you. Why not? Mata'u in Qaleel. It's mata'u. Mata'u like a spoon. Mata'u is a utensil. You take the mata, you use it, and you finish with it. That's mata. You take it, you enjoy it for a few moments, and it's finished. It's temporary, it's insignificant. Allah calls all of these things mata. Cars, houses, clothes, position, offices, rank, status, titles, shares. It's mata. It's stuff you use, and it's finished. But mata has a way of creeping into your heart. Like if I ask you, do you have a spoon in your heart? Do any of you long for a nice table spoon? Let's put a tablespoon in a drawer. Do you all long for a drawer? Let's put a drawer into a kitchen set with granite tops. Granite tops. Put it covers. Let's put that kitchen in a lovely apartment. Let's put that apartment there by the beach. Let's put a garage in by the apartment, nice car inside. Can you see how the mata is creeping into it? Now it's under, now it's under decent. The spoon, no, but that apartment sounds good. You see, this is the nature of mata. At some stage, it starts creeping into your heart and you're like, ah, there it is. That is not it. It's all mata. And it's mata which is qaleel. Qaleel. Qaleel means, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how qaleel is mata? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ma dunya fil akhirati. The dunya is not compared to the year after, but compared to dunya akhirah. Illa mithlu ma yaj'alu ahadukum isba'ati fil yam. Except when someone takes his finger and he puts it into the sea. And he takes out his finger, فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجِعْ. What came out? In other words, what they put his finger, that's dunya. The ocean, akhir. You put your finger into the sea. You take your finger out. What's left on your finger, it's all of dunya. So people have a piece of the drop on the finger. And there is an ocean waiting for us. That is the magnitude. So don't let people's matter. People have so much desire for things. unbelievable. People have so much jealousy over insignificant stuff. It's not our way. It's not the way of the believer. A believer never has jealousy for anybody else. Why? Because Allah decreed for that person to have that, and Allah decrees for me to have this. Alhamdulillah. So those who disbelieve, those who are the enemies of Islam, they might get some mata'un qaleel, thumma ma'wahum jahannam, thumma, then ma'wahum, then their ma'wa, their refuge. Their refuge. Now, to contrast the word ma'wa with taqallub. Taqallub means what? Move a shaker. You go up and down, go to the best parties, go to the best functions, you're flying all over the world, you're moving. But the movies that come to an end, and you're going to have a ma'wa, a place where you're going to find a final permanent shelter, refuge. Their permanent final refuge will be what? Jahannam, will be the fire of Jahannam. They're moving about here, but they're going to find an ultimate final refuge in Jahannam. Wa bi'sa al-mihad, and what a bi'sa, what a terrible, what an evil mihad. Mihad is like a cradle, like a bed, a place they're going to rest. They're going to rest, they're going to find their rest, mihad, in Jahannam. Allah protect us. And Allah speaks lucky, but الَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا. What should our attitude be? لكن الَّذِينَ but الَّذِينَ those who اتَّقُوا, those who have taqwa. Until the moment we can discuss what taqwa is. رَبَّهُمْ, those who have taqwa of their master. What will they have? لَهُمْ, for them, جَنَّاتٌ. Oh, they didn't say جَنَّاتٌ لَهُمْ. Allah said what? لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ. The sequence of words of Quran is important. Because lahum before jannat is taqdeem wa taqseez. Lahum wa lahum only. For them, lahum, for them, and for them alone is what? Jannatun. You will have gardens. Not jannatun, jannatun. Gardens. Tajri will be flowing. Min tahtiha, from beneath it, al-anhar, the rivers. So the apartment by the beach or the nice kitchen, it's nothing. It's like a drop compared to jannat here. You can have the ultimate waterfront seaside property. All of you, inshaAllah. Khalidina fiha. They will be khalid. They will be, I want to contrast the word khalid to what? Taqallub. Khalid to taqallub. Why? Because the disbelievers, they're making taqallub, they're moving, the movers and the shakers in this dunya, they have some few moments of pleasure. They have a small jannah for a few moments, a few years. Allah is saying, your jannah, your pleasure is infinitely greater and it is khalid. It is never ending. Khalidina. See the contrast. Khalidina. It will be forever and ever. They will live forever and ever fiha in it, in jannah. Now I wanted to ask, it's like a cute thing about Allah. The Prophet ﷺ tells you, jannah is مَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, is that which no eye has seen. Have you seen the river? Have you seen the garden? Yes. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, no ear has heard. You just hear it now. You heard it now. وَلَا خَطْرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and no heart has imagined. Can you imagine the garden? Yes. Can you imagine some trees in the rivers? Yes. What's Allah telling you? Allah is telling you, listen here, I am going to give you a jannah which you actually can't imagine. That you actually never heard about and you never saw. But because you never heard about it, you never saw, I must give you something at least. Something, just to give you some sort of understanding. But don't think now this like cursed wash is like jannah. It's not cursed wash. You understand? It's not like whatever the bed river. Something like that. That is just some sort of like symbol or some sort of idea, some sort of vague idea of what Jannah means, but that's actually Jannah. Because Jannah is something you cannot imagine. Let alone see and hear, your heart cannot even imagine it. This is Jannah. Now the next word is even more powerful. Nuzula. You know the word nazala means what? Inna anzalnahu. We have sent it down. So nuzul is something that you place. Nuzul is something which you set down. You set it down when your guest arrives. Nuzul, you say you have a new guest came from Jogo, and you invite the guest into your house. But then normally you're going to give the guest a meal, but normally give him some nuts and some juice. You like some nuts along, that's called nuzul. Nuzul is not the main deal. Nuzul is an initial hospitality. So Allah is telling you what? All of these gardens and all of these trees, this is just a warm-up. The Jannah you can't imagine is actually just a warm-up. It's just a nuzul. Just a nuzul. That's just a warm-up. It's much warm. Inshallah, I'll be honest, we'll get some. When Muhammad says, give back my whole way to the Dars, inshallah. But, you get the khur as well. Beyond the khur, inshallah, bit of the khur as well, you can inshallah get the company of your Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ultimate pleasure in Jannah is something you can't imagine. But in Jannah, we will see Allah. The Prophet said, just like you see the full moon, you will see Allah. And it will be the Isan Jameel, it's the most beautiful, that will overwhelm you. So Allah is saying that all of this stuff here, this is like Allah mentioning here, all these trees and houses and all this stuff here, that's just nuzul. That's some peanuts and some juice. It's the peanuts and juice of Jannah. It's nuzul. It's an initial hospitality. Min indillah, min from indi, from especially from Allah. And Allah says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ And what is what else is عند الله? What is worth, what is especially from Allah, is خير, is even better, للأبرار, for the people of righteousness. The people of fear, the people of goodness. Allah make us a good. And just these are the nights where we earn our agenda. And now let me end with this. And so far yesterday, I'll end with this again. In this last two or three verses, Allah contrasts and says, لا يغرّك الله لا يغرّك Don't let immediate pleasure, immediate facility, immediate moving about, don't let it what? Fool you as opposed to the permanent pleasure. It's one of the most difficult lessons for us to. It's easy to say and easy to understand, difficult to internalize. Allah is saying, don't let immediate pleasure, immediate satisfaction, immediate power, immediate facility, immediate moving about, immediate rewards, don't let it fool you over what? Over permanent pleasure. Permanent pleasure. And this is Ramadan. Ramadan. And I'll end with this. It's a very simple statement of Zayyar rahimahullah, but so profound. He says that minimum knowledge, it's so profound, but so simple. He says, minimum knowledge is what? You must know, أن الآخرة خير من الدنيا. It's so simple, but so difficult. He says, if you want minimum ilm, you must know أن الآخرة, that the year after is better than the dunya. Those words are simple, but those words are difficult. Simple, but difficult. And Ramadan is there to open our hearts to that reality. That, Ya Allah, I am seeking only you. Ya Allah, take all this love, all these temporary things, all these fleeting things. Just take it out of my heart. I don't mean you, and I want you to understand, I don't say you mustn't like something. Your natural will naturally like something. And it's normal. You will like something, you will like a nice house, you like a nice car. It's normal to like something. Allah is saying, don't put that light completely into your heart and give your life to it. You can have a preference, which is fine. The Prophet like a preference, he likes sweet things sometimes. It's a preference. But it's not something you should enter into his heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can have preferences, but don't let the preference take over your life. It's a wasted life to chase the dunya. If you're a young man now, save your whole life and don't make your life about chasing the dunya. Get some dunya for your family and there's a functional purpose and you travel with you yourself and your family, you travel to the akhirah. You row on the dunya like a boat. That's it. But don't make your life investment. I want dunya. If you want Allah, Allah will give you dunya. If you want Allah, Allah will look after you. That's called tawakkaltu. Tawakkaltu means that Allah make you the wakil. You in charge, Allah. I'm focused on you, Allah. You the wakil. You sort me out. And I can think, and you can ask Allah Muhammad. Really, you know. People who I'll come to the story. And you make sense, Angela, inshallah. One day, one of our students, he was doing law and army course. And I was confused now, must I become a lawyer? Or must I become an alim? How must I move now? And now the guys were worried that law is like a book with nice bucks. It's alim, it's not so nice bucks. What must I do? And one of said, I'm profound. He says, do you ever see alim or no? I get it, you speak to any of the students who study. Somehow Allah makes a plan for you. Allah makes a plan for you. I'm not saying you won't become put them on a man and stuff. I'm just saying when you make decisions for Allah's sake, Allah makes a plan for you. That's how I feel. And everybody who studied, who is studying now, you can go ask them, a few guys in the room are studying here. Ask them, somehow, how do you do it? Do you have kids? Do you have a family? How do you do it? Allah doesn't. Allah, may Allah give us the nur of this ayah. Ya Kareem, ya Allah, may Allah give us the reality, the inner reality of all of these words. All of these words, we share the inner reality, Allah give us the inner reality. Allahu Ameen. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.